Hi, this is Dr. Joe Vitale, author of Attract Money Now. You're listening to The Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, it's David here, and welcome to the Tuesday show of the Kick-Ass Life. I'm excited. You know, I am actually going to dedicate this show to Chris Aishin 2000, and that's the name in the reviews in iTunes. So Chris, it's called The Daily Do. I just want to read it to you because I thought it was so great. Thanks for the 5 stars. I appreciate it. It says, I was in a dark place in my life and this podcast showed me light in my life. There was a part of me that I had pushed down for years because I saw it as a flaw. After listening to some of the interviews, I was able to see that really they were really strengths, and I was able to see his daily do's to help me redefine myself. I've really found true joy in my life and owe it to this podcast. Listen, that's awesome. Chris, thank you. I truly appreciate it. And again, you know, this is what it's about. And this is why, you know, as we link arms together around the world and, you know, together we're able to share some of these amazing guests I bring on and share the philosophy of a kick-ass life. We can really do something pretty remarkable, but it's going to take all of us. It's going to take sometimes taking a little extra effort and, sharing this with some friends because it, really I can't do it alone. But when I read that, and I can't, some of the stuff I can't read, I get so many private messages of people who are really in that dark, dark place, you know, young people who are, not feeling very good about life and contemplating taking their own life. And so, you know, stuff like that, it's really, really important that we can stand together and say, look, there's an important, now, again, that's just one element. There's the whole other element of people who are really, really doing great, who are just going to the next level, or people who maybe their relationships aren't doing it. And they're sort of, they're taking 100% responsibility for it inside of them, and they're changing themselves, which is changing the results in their life and changing what's showing up. And so I'm really, really excited when I read reviews like that, you know, and I realize that somebody has gone from living a life in one way of seeing it and just saying, whoa, 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 hold on, wake up. There's a new way. There's a different way. It's a modern way. It's a kick-ass way. And, you know, and the truth is there is a new way. And the truth is every single person is born to greatness. Every single person is a miracle. Every single person's a gift. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. Those mistakes can be changed and can be used as a springboard to something even greater. And so, you know, again, when I read that, I feel moved deep inside to get up earlier, to do more, to impact more lives. But again, we can't do it alone. And with that being said, I think it's time for a song because my guest today is going to rock it out. So this is More Than a Woman. Here we go.
And the bills got paid. Said, go ahead, baby, do your same thing. And when God blesses us, I want a Lexus with a Halloween mansion in the Hamptons.
Girl, you must have lost your way from heaven. Could it be for me? You've came so far.
So far.
Nothing like the ordinary woman.
You're the very beat inside my heart. Hey, listen, you know, by the way, if you want to go to the show notes and see those, that will let you know who all the songs are so you can find out exactly who the singers are. You can click on it, go straight there. So if you love a song, go find it. Upload it on your little iPod thingy, whatever it's called. I am so not hip. My kids think I'm archaic. I don't know what it is. What is that thing you've got there? Anyway, so are you ready for a great show? I hope so. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal show. And, you know, I think about everyone out there, because, guys, I want to set you up properly here. You know, you have mothers, and you have daughters, and you have sisters, and you have aunties, and you have, that's my phone going off. You know, you have all these people in your life that are female. And I think it's really important for us guys to step it up a notch and really to get into a more beautiful relationship with that feminine side of ourselves and that feminine side around us. And so my guest today has worked for over 20 years with women. But guys, this is a show you need to listen to. It's not a show you need to cop out on. Oh yeah, it's all about women, right? This is about us. This is about understanding each other. And she talks about in the show, you'll hear some of the language, because I've worked with this lady. She's a good friend of mine, and I've had her on my stages, and she makes tremendous impact. She said that, you know, a lot of people live in a chronic state of self-betrayal. And that really, you know, when I looked at that review, it was like resonating with me so deeply, but a chronic state of self-betrayal. And that's really something that we need to understand is a learned thing. You know, it's a learned activity. And so many people are just not in love with who they are. And what shows up, you know, what shows up on the inside of our body is manifesting on the outside. And with any lack of self-love or self-worth, or what we can look in the mirror and love our imperfection, any of that exists, it's going to show up on the outside in crappy relationships and crappy jobs and a crappy feeling and a crappy way of seeing the world. And, you know, enough of that. It's enough of that. It's time to turn the page. And again, this beautiful guest has been a friend of mine for many, many years. She was a teacher of mine when I first started out. And now she works with me. And I'm totally in love with her, as you'll hear. And I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the beautiful Lita Francis. Well, here we are. I'm stuck for words, as usual, to introduce someone that I'm absolutely in love with. This is somebody who's played such a special role in my life, and I've worked with her as a student. We've worked together as peers, and when I write programs, I always attempt to write her in, because she has such a magical touch with people. So, Lila, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. I'm thrilled to be here, and I love that you're in love with me, and I'm in love with you.
A mutual love fest. What can we say?
Exactly, and I can't even think of a better place I'd want to be right now.
You know, when I think of you, I mean, I want the guys listening, and we have a lot of men listeners, but obviously we have a lot of women as well. And you know, your company, which is really Vividly Woman, I think it's so pertinent for guys to listen in, to understand this stuff. I think so. I just want to give all the men the opportunity to really sit down and really take this in, because it really is important for both sexes to understand, right?
Absolutely. You know, I spend most of my time guiding women back home to the core soul essence of their being, to really live their juiciest, most authentic version of themselves. But the reality is that a lot of what I teach women about themselves and about their lives and about their relationships are tips and very important clues about how men can be in more fulfilling relationships with women. So it kind of works all around.
You know, I love this idea of sort of guiding women back to themselves. I suppose it just poses the question for me is, why do we lose ourselves? And why are so many women needing to be guided back from the very essence of who they are? What's happening out there? Why is everyone getting so lost?
Such a good question. Well, the fact is that we grow up in a world where we're constantly being told who we need to be and how we need to be and how we need to dress and what we need to look like and what we need to sound like in order to be loved, accepted, and approved of. And instead of taking that in and saying, okay, well, some of this I believe in, some of this I don't, what's the truth for me? I and many women that I know, and probably many women that you know, David, are walking around thinking that if they were the truth of who they were, they wouldn't be loved and accepted and approved of. And that's actually not true. And the more that we deny who we are, the more inauthentic we become and the more unhappy we are. But the good news is that we live in a world now that is actually encouraging us to be more authentically who we are. So we need to kind of let go of a lot of what we learned when we were growing up in, you know, in the school system. And we need to start looking around and going, okay, who am I really? What do I really love? What really, really turns me on? And start honoring that and living by that.
You said that, you know, it's changing. Can I go back a couple of generations? Because obviously this has been handed down from generation to generation. Take me back to sort of, you know, you and I are around the same age group. Obviously, I'm much, much older if we stand next to each other. but if we go back, it's a sort of the lessons learned, let's say two generations ago that's been passed. Or has that played the massive role in sort of this inability to be authentic in just the way the generations have sort of lived and been taught to think?
Well, absolutely. You know, our role models were living by a completely different set of codes and principles. We saw our mothers behaving a certain way. You know, they were, a lot of our mothers didn't even work outside the home. And our fathers were calling the shots and saying the way things were going to be. And but we're very blessed to live in a time where, you know, our lives have completely turned around. And, you know, who isn't, what woman do we know who's not working today and who's not following her bliss and who's not choosing for herself? What is it that really she's passionate about? But the fact is we grew up in a completely different environment and we were handed down the beliefs and the attitudes of the, you know, the people that raised us. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is that, you know, you look at the media and you see what the media is doing to women and everybody's trying to live up to a certain way that women have to look and dress and behave in order to be taken seriously and in order to kind of make it out there in the world. And it's what it amounts to is just a lot of denial of who we really are, a lot of suppression of who we really are. So, but like I said, the great news is that, you know, we can leave some of that behind, but we do have to acknowledge it. And we do have to make peace with it. And we do have to forgive ourselves for being inauthentic and for dishonoring ourselves. And we do have to do some, you know, we have to look inside. We have to do some inner investigation. And I think a really big piece and something that I really want to share about my own life is that we were led to believe that our self-worth was to be found outside. Whether it was in being a mother, having children and being a mother, or through, you know, our relationship and who our partner is, or through what we did for a living and how successful we were always looking outside and going, okay, well, what can I create on the outside that's going to prove my value, my self-worth? And you can have all of the pieces set up out there that looks really, really pretty and the whole, you know, the whole gets tied up with a really pretty bow. But on the inside, you can still be struggling and suffering and feeling pretty yucky.
Mm. What's interesting is that, you know, I work with about 80% women and it's incredible how many really, really successful or apparently successful people, women that I work with who, you know, will confess in the quiet moments once they realize the kind of work I do that, you know, the turmoil that goes on inside and that inner conversation, which is sort of drowning, it's sort of drowning inside of them, you know, where it really is sort of this search for self-love or self-worth. And so if we talk about that, Leela, because I'm really fascinated because, I mean, obviously for you to be teaching this for 20 years and for you to do so much good work in the world and really, like, again, I love this idea of, you know, navigating your path to sort of an embodied power, you know, the woman's way home. But how did you stumble into this? How did you become and start this journey personally where you're able now to help so many other people find their way back?
Yeah, well, of course, it really does all start with us, doesn't it, David?
We're a little messed up. There's no doubt about it. We're a little messed up.
That's right. And we're creative and beautiful beings with amazing hearts because of that. So, well, a little bit of what I mentioned earlier really was hinting at sort of my own story. And I'll share it with you now because I'm truly, I mean, this is, you know, I'm walking my talk. Is like, how real can I be and how honest can I be about my own struggles and my own challenges? Because I know that people listening, and especially women, you're going to be able to say, oh, yeah, I felt some of that. And, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that feels that way. And that's what, you know, Vividly Woman is all about. It's about creating a community and an opportunity for women to come together and realize that we're not alone and to stop, you know, to stop suppressing ourselves and to stop making ourselves wrong. So I'd love to share something about me. Well, I mentioned earlier about, you know, there's a lot of things that we as women are doing to create our self-worth on the outside. So the first one that I started with, and this was many years ago, was I desperately wanted to have children. I thought that by having a child, by having a baby, that I would prove my womanhood. And the very sad part of that story was that I couldn't. I couldn't have children. I actually was told at first when I was 16 that I wouldn't be able to have children. I didn't believe it. So I tried desperately moving into my adulthood, and I tried to make a difference with it on the physical level, on the spiritual level, on the emotional level. But no matter what I did, I wasn't able to reverse that diagnosis of being quote unquote infertile. So I finally decided, okay, well, I can't have children in order to prove myself worth. And of course, everybody around me was having children. And I saw a lot of women in my life, young women in my life, who were having children. And of course, you know, their children are very dear to them. And having a family is absolutely amazing. But the reality is that I know that a lot of these women were having children in order to prove their self-worth, the exact same thing that I was trying to do, but couldn't. So I couldn't have children. So I decided, okay, well, if I can't have children, I'm going to have the perfect relationship. And I remember saying this to my mother. I said to my mother, you know, I can't have children, so I need to have a relationship with a man who I really relate to and who understands me and who's on the same path as me. Because I looked around at a lot of relationships and I saw that they weren't very fulfilled and happy ones. So guess what my life looked like? I went from one relationship to the next because I was constantly comparing my partner and my relationship to other women. And I don't know if this is something that you can relate to, Dave, but when I talk to women about this, this is something that a lot of women are doing. We're comparing our relationships to the relationships of other women. And, of course, we don't have insight into what's really happening in other people's lives. We see it on the outside, but we don't really see it, what's really going on. So it's easy to compare ourselves and to fall short. So,
by the way, yeah, I do relate. I absolutely. And I think, you know, I mean, that whole area became, for me, you know, I was willing to always go to a certain level and I wanted it to be a certain way. And it took me a lot of years to really figure that one out and to really surrender to the intimacy that we can share together as a couple, as opposed to my perceived perception of everyone else's, you know, diagnosis of it, or, you know, so that was one of the hard ones for me to really, really allow my heart to open fully and jump in, because I was so in my head about the whole thing. So,
well, and that's such a good point. And thank you for sharing that, David. You mentioned intimacy, and that's what this all really boils down to. What we're talking about here is intimacy with ourselves. And until we have intimacy with ourselves, we can't really have it with anybody else. So if you're looking for the picture-perfect relationship that other people are going to be impressed by, you are totally barking up the wrong tree, because that doesn't really fulfill you in the end. What fulfills you is intimacy. And that can only be had with starting with you. So for me, what happened was, you know, I kept going from one relationship to the next. I didn't have an intimate relationship with myself. So every relationship with the men in my life turned out, you know, to be unfulfilling. So I wasn't able to find self-worth through having children. I wasn't able to find self-worth through the perfect relationship. I decided, okay, well, I'm going to have a successful business, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to prove myself out in the world. I'm going to be famous, and I'm going to, you know, everybody's going to know me. I'm going to.
I know you. You're famous to me. No, go ahead.
Right. Well, you see. So I worked really, really hard, and you know what? The truth is that as hard as I worked and as much money as I made and as much acknowledgement as I got, I still didn't feel successful. I was really looking for fulfillment and self-worth in my business. And when I had that success, you know, by other people's perceptions, other people looking at me would look at me and go, yeah, well, she looks really successful. Look at what she's achieved. She's got a whole training program. She's a trained facilitator. She's published books. She's published videos, DVDs. She's been on big stages. And all of that looked really groovy. But on the inside, I didn't feel successful. And what I had to do was I had to turn and look inside and go, my self-worth can only come from inside. And that's what ended up happening was I hit rock bottom. I went into a depression and I ended up on a beach in Mexico. I ran away to a beach in Mexico and there was nowhere left to look. I had to look inside. And that's where I started discovering and coming face to face and getting intimately acquainted with the scariest things, the things that I was distracting myself from through trying to have children, trying to have a perfect relationship, and trying to be famous. That's when I had to look inside. Because, you know, I mean, as much as I wanted all of those things on the outside, I was wise and intuitive enough to know that sustained fulfillment and sustained happiness could only really come from inside of me. And that's when I started paying attention to the wisdom and the power and the potential for joy that lives in my body. And that's really how I birthed Vividly Woman. And that's really what I teach women to do, is to look inside their own bodies, to start listening, to start paying attention and honoring our body as a temple instead of as a machine.
Let's talk about this whole body thing, because obviously, you know, this whacked out kind of perception of what a woman's body should look like and be like. So this idea of a temple, and yet, you know, the way that we compare the rolls of fat or the dimples on our bum and everything else like that. I mean, that truly can become an obsession for a lot of women, isn't it? The physical body appearance.
Oh my goddess, that's putting it mildly, David. You know, so many of us are absolutely consumed with the way that we look. And I'll speak from personal experience, and this was something that, my whole world revolved around was I have to look good in order to be loved. And what that really was an expression of how little I thought of myself on the inside. In fact, I thought very, very poorly of myself on the inside. I thought I was a complete, you know, loser. I thought I was a mess. I didn't deserve love. I didn't deserve success. And I, you know, there was a lot of self-hate going on. In fact, I'll tell you quite openly that I am a recovering self-hater. And the truth was that I was trying to look good on the outside in order to make up for how poorly I thought of myself on the inside. And I thought, and it's such a losing game. It's ridiculous. If I can just look good, if I can dress right, if my hair can look correct and fit in, and if I can be beautiful, they'll love me and they'll want me and they'll approve of me and they'll want to hang out with me and they'll believe me and they'll buy my books and they'll buy my DVDs. Well, you know better than anybody, David, because I've been on your stage and I've spent enough time with you to know that the way a person's put together, yeah, I mean, you want to look, you know, acceptable to the population, but what we have to give comes from inside. It comes from our heart. It comes from our authenticity and our desire and our passion to serve. It does not come from having the right clothes and the right hairdo and the right makeup.
Well, it doesn't really. Sorry, interrupting. Carry on.
No, and yet that's what a lot of us as women believe. That's what we're buying into.
Well, I was going to say, you know, what's really fascinating for me is how sexy this authenticity can be. In other words, I've watched people evolve, and you've been around enough of my programs to know, you know, that transformations do occur and can occur, right? We bring enough of the right things together. But when you watch someone sort of emerge, it's almost like they can be invisible in a room. And when their authenticity starts to reside back in their body and that sort of glimmer of love of self starts to emerge, it's almost like the sexy shows up on the outside. And even if the person isn't classical, it's just something about that vibe. There's something very attractive in a man and a woman, I find, where they just start to have that relationship with self. And it doesn't really kind of matter what the outside looks like, but there's something very sexy. There's something very attractive. There's something very magnetic and charismatic. And all that stuff starts to show up. And it seems to be in spite of the look. And I can tell you, probably hundreds of cases where people to me didn't seem attractive at all one day. And, you know, you kind of meet them after, you know, when they're in the middle of their journey, and suddenly there's this spark and there's this like magnetism and truly sexy. So, I mean, it really is quite an invisible field, but it because, you know, if we look at it the other side where you've got someone who's classically beautiful or a guy that's kind of the perfect kind of, you know, whatever it is, you know, that stereotypical man looking man. But if they lack that authenticity and they lack that self-love, there's something innately unattractive about them, right?
Oh, and that's so true. You know, in my experience, there is nothing sexier than a woman who is loving being in her body. It doesn't matter what size she is. It doesn't matter what shape it is. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you want to have a love affair with her, but just to be in the presence of a woman who is savoring living in her own body. You can sense it, you can smell it, you can taste it. And by the same token, you can taste and smell and feel when a woman or a man is not comfortable in their body. And they can have the most beautiful body by the media standards, but you can tell they're not home. They're not safe in their own body. They're not celebrating their temple. And a lot of that happens because we have lived in a chronic state of self-betrayal by not listening, by not paying attention to what our bodies are saying. And our bodies are talking to us all the time. And a lot of what we're doing is, instead of paying attention to what our bodies are saying, we're living in our heads. We're going up into the story of our head. And this is one of the really big pieces in the practices that we learn in the Vivendi Woman and Body Leader Training and in the coach training, and I teach it in Woman's Way Home, my new book. I teach you an exercise called I Feel, I Sense. And what you start to discover is, for every feeling that you have a corresponding body sensation and you have corresponding thoughts. And most of us, what we do, and, you know, women are known to be more emotional, right, David? I mean, wouldn't you say that that's true?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, women feel.
And you're the queen of emotion. That's what I love about you. You've always, like, you live the whole range of emotions in an afternoon. It's so great. And that's why I love hanging out with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, and that's the thing is that, you see, women are so naturally endowed with our feelings, with our emotions. And that's why we make such great mothers, because we nurture children into healthy adults through our love and through our empathy and our compassion. So, you see, emotions are great, but we've been told that they make us weak. The only reason that emotions make us weak is because, instead of paying attention to the body experience of our sensation, we cut ourselves off at the neck, we stop feeling what's happening in our bodies, and we go up into this story in our head. And the story sounds like this: I feel whatever you're feeling. I feel happy, I feel sad, I feel angry. The next word will be because, and then a whole volume of reasons will show up. And then what happens is you're totally caught up in a story that's like kerosene. And if you're experiencing a unpleasant or an uncomfortable emotion, like anger or sadness or shame, the story is like pouring kerosene on that emotion. It's just going to make it bigger and more uncomfortable. And all emotions are necessary. We've got to feel anger. We've got to feel happiness. We've got to feel sadness. We've got to feel joy. We're going to feel shame. It's a fact of life. But we're also going to feel forgiveness for ourselves and understanding for our past and our, you know, whatever's happened. So we're going to feel the uncomfortable emotions. We're going to feel the comfortable emotions. The secret to being able to move beyond what makes us feel uncomfortable is staying in our body. And the worst possible thing we could do is to go up into our head and to live into the story, because that's just going to spiral us even deeper, and it's going to last even longer.
Mm. So when we look at this sort of this idea of being in the body, in the emotions, you know, in the body, in the emotions. You know what I'm saying? Is that this wonderful thing? Because I always say that, you know, those people who have done some work and are in a place where they have that self-love, even, I always call it my self-love of my imperfection. It's my imperfection that I've fallen in love with. It's not my perfection. It's not what I do well. It's the crappy bits. It's the mistakes I continue to make. But there is the ability for me to forgive myself very, very quickly and not hang on to or have this expectation that somehow I'm not going to make mistakes or I'm going to go through life and not piss people off, because I do it all the time. But the question is that part of the journey, though, is to still be completely human with human emotion and stay in the body and get used to our ebb and flow and our peaks and valleys and our imperfection and perfection? Is that kind of what we're saying here?
That's such a good point. Yes, David. And, you know, absolutely, in the work that we do in Vividly Woman and all through Woman's Way Home, Navigating Your Path to Embodied Power, what you do is you constantly, you know, come upon other women's experiences, other people's experiences, where we have had to confront our own, you know, imperfections, you know, not living up to what we thought we had to be or who we think we have to be. There isn't a ideal version of ourselves that we have to, you know, achieve in order to love ourselves. If we keep aspiring to something or being someone before we can love ourselves, we are going to waste our whole lives. And the juiciest and the richest experiences in our lives are the most intimate. And intimacy isn't about reaching perfection and then I'll love you. And in fact, I had this experience a while ago, and it was a real eye-opener for me. I was working with my therapist, and I told her, you know, I can feel when my husband is afraid of intimacy with me. I know the things that he does. And we can be in the most intimate embrace and, you know, we can be really connected. And then he'll do something. And I can feel that he's diluting the intimacy between us. He's not comfortable there. And it really bothers me. It really pisses me off. And I just want to blame him. And I want to point out his insecurity. And I want him to change. And so she said to me, well, Leela, you know, what is intimacy? Isn't intimacy accepting other people's insecurities, forgiving them, and having compassion for them instead of blaming them and distancing them? And I realized in that moment that that's exactly what I was doing with my husband, that I was pushing him away when I sensed his fear of intimacy, and that's exactly what I did with myself. Whenever I sensed and acknowledged my own insecurities, I was making myself wrong, and I was having destructive beliefs and thoughts about myself. And that's absolutely the time when we need to love ourselves the most. get where I'm coming from?
Absolutely. I love it. You know, I've had someone on the show, I said, you know, intimacy, into me I see, right? I mean, I have to be able to sort of see into myself to have that relationship. But let's talk about The Woman's Way Home. And people can find the book at thewomanswayhome.com, or you can go to the show notes. If you don't write it down, just go to the show notes on the Kick-Ass Life, and we'll have a link there for it so that, that we can lead you there. But, you know, 20 years doing the work you do, and you have this beautiful book that's a sort of culmination of working with really hundreds of thousands of people over the years. But can you sort of lead us in, first of all, the inspiration to write the book? And then can you take us in the covers and sort of give us a little taste of what's going on in there?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. Of course, I've been building the curriculum and the body of work that is the Visibly Woman training for many, many years. And by now, I've trained many women through the Embodied Leader training. I have many graduates now, and we also have certified coaches. And one of the things that I love about the Visibly Woman training and our live events that make up the training is that our programs are small. They are intimate. We create a very safe and sacred place where women can do our deepest work, where we can feel that we know everybody in the room. And that's what I love about our small events. And that is, I truly believe that that allows us to go even deeper because we're in such a small, intimate group. But the reality is that there are a lot of women out there that for one reason or another do not have the opportunity to come to live events, whether it's because they have, you know, they've got jobs that they have to be working, or they have children at home, or they don't have the means at this time in their life, or they're scared. You know, the truth is, in the first few pages of The Woman's Way Home, you'll read about what women are going through when they first sit in a woman's circle. There's usually terror, and usually you can hear what's going on, even though you can see it on their faces. They're like, what am I doing here? What am I going to have to reveal about myself? What am I going to have to discover about myself? What am I going to have to come up front with about myself that I've been pushing away? So, you know, there are a lot of women that can't, for one reason or another, make it to the circle, to events. And so I knew that I had to document this training work. I had to make it available to women who were not ready, but are ready to read and are ready to flip through the pages and to see themselves in the mirror, and to discover that they're not alone. And the book has lots of exercises and practices in it as well, so that not only are you reading about the concepts and the principles, and reading about other women's lives and reading about my life as well, because I share a lot of my own stories, but you're also going to be able to apply it to your own life, and you're going to be able to do the work from home to start to put the pieces together so that you're living a more embodied, empowered life. Because really, if you're not connecting to your body, you are living probably not a very juicy existence. And that's what Visibly Woman is all about. It's have the power, have the fulfillment, have the joy, and live in your body like a temple.
You know, and I can say from personal experience, having had you train at Beyond Courage a number of times, and when you and I worked on stage quite a number of times together, but, you know, we've done women's days where I've watched you lead the women through the most beautiful exercises where, you know, they initially have that terror and that fear, but watching at the end and reading the comment sheets at the end of a 5-day program, that really becomes the highlight of the entire week. And we do a lot of amazing things there, but truly it's one of the most beautiful journeys a woman could take, isn't it? That self-discovery.
Exactly. And, you know, we can learn about things, we can read about them, we can sit in a lecture and have people tell us things. But until we integrate it at the level of our body, actually embody it, we're not really living it. We're living the idea of it. We're living the aspired, you know, vision of what it could be. But when we embody it, we are living a full technicolor existence. And one of the analogies that I often use is that, you know, you can go to the tropical rainforest I don't know if you've ever been to South America, David, but if you're traveling in the Amazon rainforest, for example, and you're hearing all the beautiful sounds and you're in that humidity and the succulence of the nature all around you, that's a drastically different existence than if you were traveling in an air-conditioned bus with tinted windows and looking at it from the inside instead of being in it. And that's what I want, you know, that's what I'm a cheerleader for, is people, and especially women, living a succulent, full-color existence instead of just the black and white theoretical version of it.
So I think about, you know, I mentioned to you right before the show that this goes out to 175 countries and some very, very obscure and countries that I thought I knew every country in the world, but obviously I don't because I see these countries pop up. I have to look it up. Where's that? I didn't know that existed, right? But I mean, there's obviously women out there who are living in some pretty horrific circumstances by culturally, you know, being treated as a third class citizen or being living under a shroud of clothing that hides them from the world. Where's something, maybe we can give a few gifts away in the book, a couple of things that people can do to start out, to give them a taste, because maybe they may not be able to put their hands on this book right away. But is there something that you'd like to share or a couple of exercises we could go through that would allow them to get a taste of the type of work we're doing?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned a lot of the women who won't necessarily have access to this work, you know, in their lives right now for the reason that they live in a place where they don't have the rights and the freedoms that we do. And this was actually a big inspiration and motivation for Birthing Vividly Woman, because as we all know, there are many women in the world that are suffering and that have been victims and are living in abusive situations. And the one that, you know, that just horrifies me the most is women that are victims and are violated as a weapon of war. And the reality is that while there are a lot of women that don't have the rights and freedoms that women like me have, women that are living in the developed world, it's our duty, because we do have these rights and freedoms and opportunities, we have to embrace them and we have to live into them and honor these rights and freedoms by being the intimate, authentic version of ourselves in order to support our women in places don't have those rights and freedoms. So
I want to talk about that, because I think it's so powerful what you just said, is our responsibility to everyone in the world who does not enjoy the freedoms and have access to what we do in this Western culture and so many other cultures in the world. Our responsibility is to live authentically and transparently and to discover and live that succulent, I love the word you use, that succulent part of our existence as a representation and as a model for those around us, because we can reach them. I mean, if every woman stood up today, a man as well, and stepped into that authenticity and made it their life's quest and became an embodiment of who they were born to be, I mean, this world would heal pretty fast, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. And the most beautiful thing about that is that, you see, leadership isn't, to me at least, leadership is not about what you tell other people to do and how good you are at influencing them and convincing them to follow you. That may be some people's version of leadership. But for me, leadership or being a leader is knowing that the way you be in your body can affect and change and heal people all over this world. But even saying that doesn't come close to what it's like to actually know that in your own body. And so at Vividly Woman, we have the personal healing level where you learn how to, you know, untangle your own life and bring healing and joy and peace to your own life. That's the personal level. But we also do work at the transpersonal level, where we get in every fiber of our own body how the way we be in our lives does affect change for all women, for all beings. And we have a program actually called the Daily Dance, the Daily Dance for Darfur or the Daily Dance for Rwanda, where we invite women to sign up to register for the Daily Dance program, and you commit to dance for 15 minutes a day. You get other people to sponsor you. And so for about $1 or $2 a day for 1 month, you commit to dance for 15 minutes a day. And every day that you dance, you're earning money that you can then send to your sisters in Rwanda or Darfur, who do not have the rights and freedoms that we have and who have endured the suffering of being abused and violated as a weapon of war. Now, the important thing about this is that, you know, the women that get involved in this, and I just want to say a huge thank you to the many, many women who have been part of this program. But across the board, what happens is this. Day one, you dance for 15 minutes, you feel great. Day two, yeah, I'm really in there, you're dancing. Day three, I'm still on board, I'm loving the music. Day four, you're lying in bed. All of a sudden, your eyes open and you remember, I forgot to dance today. And isn't it a farce and a joke that the biggest challenge that we could have in our lives is getting up out of bed and dancing for 15 minutes when women or people in other parts of the world are starving and just fighting to have a meal? So when you get up out of bed and you realize what a sweet life you have and all you have to do is dance for 15 minutes, you step into embodied leadership and you realize that you can make a difference for people around the world. And that's what embodied leadership is. And that's what the whole Vividly Woman Embodied Leader Training is devoted to, is that is you living, you shivering in every fiber of your being, having goosebumps, knowing that you matter and that you make a difference. And you asked me about some of the things that you can do in the Woman's Way Home book. One of the things I wanted to mention that's so important is that we have three levels of power. Sensual power, I've mentioned about the emotions and how they live in the body. Emotional power, it's so important to know that we have the full range of emotions available to us and that we're also masterful in choosing how and when to express them. And we also have intuitive power. All of us are so well endowed with intuition, access to our higher self. We step into intuitive power when we start making our choices based on the information that our higher self is telling us. And being able to identify that is such a powerful, powerful skill to have in our lives.
I have a question for you on that, because I think that my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that to have that conversation with the intuitive self, that higher self that we talk about, you really have to start that relationship. It's hard when you're living in your head or sort of at the mercy of negative thinking, which a lot of people are trapped in this sort of negative thinking cycle. But it's really when you start getting in and that physical, you know, when you start using a physical element like dance, and I've watched you work with women and men, and when they start to really free themselves up into their bodies, how that intuition becomes louder. It's actually something you can actually get more of a grasp on. But if somebody's sitting there right now and they're stuck in that spin cycle, sometimes it takes the physical aspect to sort of access the intuitive aspect. Do you find that true or not?
I think it's a wonderful vehicle for getting out of the head and accessing the wisdom of the body, precisely, David. And a really important piece that I want to offer to our listeners today, because, you know, negative thinking isn't something that just a few of us do. As you mentioned, a lot of us can get very stuck and very bogged down in it. A really important way to start unplugging from a lot of that negative way of thinking is to start identifying ego and intuition and or higher self, and start to be able to distinguish those two MOs in your life. And I'm not going to say that you should act on one of them versus the other. That's where choice comes in. that's where we can choose to be guided by higher self, or we can choose to be guided by ego. But the first step in being able to do that is to be able to distinguish them. And a lot of the reason that we don't identify ego when it's at play, and a lot of that negative self-talk comes from ego. A lot of the reason we don't identify it as such is because we have a judgment about it. We believe that it's not good to have to be motivated by our ego, so we don't even let ourselves recognize that that's what's going on. So what I want to really encourage our listeners today is to start to notice, when are you being motivated by ego, and when are you being motivated by higher self? So for instance, I'll give you an example. I was invited to be on your show, David, which touched my heart deeply. And I had to decide whether to be on the show or not. I mean, as much as I felt very, very touched and very moved to be invited, you know, it's always a decision. There's timing, there's all kinds of reasons that go into decisions that we make. So on the one hand, I had, yes, be on the show because you're going to get lots of exposure. A lot of people are going to hear you. You're going to sell a lot of books. You're going to impress people because David Wood believes in you, all of that. And that's all ego-driven. It's not bad. It's not false. It's just driven by ego, and it's really, really good to notice it. Then I had another voice saying, yeah, be on David's show because you're going to be able to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. Everybody that hears you speak, Leela, is going to be touched because they're going to be given permission to be the authentic version of themselves instead of continuing to think that they have to impress anybody to be loved. So do you want to be on David's show? And if you do, what is motivating you? And which one is more in alignment with your higher self? And of course, the heart piece was in alignment with my higher self. And then my big answer was, yes, my higher self is in alignment with being on David's show, and that's where I'm going to make my decision from. So what I'm trying to communicate here is that it's essential to notice. And then the other piece, that this is what brings in the body, is where does the ego motivation live in my body? What is the quality of sensation? Well, when I think about the exposure and the fame and the recognition and how I'm going to impress people with being on the Kick-Ass Life show, where does that live in my body? It lives in the top of my chest. There's kind of a heavy sensation there. That's the sensation of ego in my body. And I recognize it because it shows up all the time. And then where is the sensation of heart? All of the people that are going to help, the women that are home with their children that are going to make a difference in their children's lives, the men who are going to go home and start treating their women different, the women who don't have opportunities to come to the women's events, they're going to feel touched by this work. Where does that live in my body? That's in the pit of my belly. And there's a warm, fluttery sensation. And I recognize that too. When you start to recognize ego and intuition in your body, you can start to listen for those. And you can start making decisions at the drop of a hat. You don't have to go into your head and analyze them anymore. Because I am much more in alignment and much more motivated. I want to live with that warm, fluttering sensation in my belly more. That's the juicy, succulent life that I find myself much more fulfilled and happy around.
What I love, though, is the idea that with the same action, there's the ego-driven part and there's the heart-driven part. And truly, it's a difference in conversation, and asking ourselves a better set of questions is really, you're driven by purpose. Everyone who comes on the show has a purpose-driven, and purpose-driven. But truly, the same action being on the show, one set of reasons, but then deeper than that is a set of reasons. What I think is part of the reason we're all here is that idea of contribution and purpose, and giving the gifts that we have. But a very, very simple conversation. And I can imagine it'd be very hard or hard, but challenging in the beginning to start to really listen in that way and hear that deeper calling when you've been sort of so consumed by that sort of head living and wanting to impress the world from the outside in as opposed from the inside out. And in your work and what you've found, and we're almost at the end of the show here, but in your work, with a journey like this, what advice would you give to people starting out who maybe there's something about this conversation today that's stirring in them the understanding that they're living as a prisoner of their thoughts or a prisoner of this sort of this external need of approval as opposed to internal? The start is obviously reading the book, but how long is this journey typically? And what's some of the final advice you can give to people about to step into it?
Well, an important piece is that I really want to encourage you to start paying attention to what your body loves and desires. So this is actually something that I call sensual fitness. A lot of us are very busy working out, pushing our bodies, driving our bodies, getting in, you know, the daily sweat, lifting the weights, going to classes, all of that kind of stuff. So what I want to encourage you to do is to set aside a part of your daily routine of exercise and to start spending that time devoted to sensual fitness, which means that you're going to ask your body in that moment what it wants, and you're going to give it what it wants. So if you're in a yoga class, you're going to veer off into your own practice. If you're running down the road, for instance, I love to run. I run on trails. I run on the road. Partway on my run, what I might do is I might start to skip. I might start to sing. I start to weave in the things to my daily practice that is nourishing and keeping my body healthy and fit, but bring in a more sensual dimension to it. And that encourages me to stay present moment to moment with what my body loves and desires, instead of being on automatic pilot and being completely kind of shut off to what's really going on. So the most beautiful thing you can do for yourself and the way you can get to treating your body as a temple is to start listening at a more subtle level to what your body is telling you. And, you know, some of the work that we've done together, David, where, for instance, where I'll get students to start accessing their inner animal nature, that's what that's all about, is to start giving ourselves permission to play, to start, you know, being seen, to start stepping out of the box and to be creative and to give ourselves permission to be the wild and wonderful beings that we truly are.
You know, we went on a big hike yesterday, and, you know, often when you go on a hike, you have kind of a plan where, you know, when we have kids here, right? We're going to go, we should be back in an hour. My son wanted to go to church yesterday, and, you know, and I said, well, you know, Cal, I said, I'll try and be back. I said, if not, you can ride your bike down. That is quite a ride, but I thought, you know, he's 15, he can get down there. But going on that hike and, you know, going down and we live in this most gorgeous, gorgeous place. And we decided in the moment to hike out a different way. But along the way, there was a sailboat race. And I get that sense of what you were talking about. For me yesterday was I'm an absolute passionate sailor. And these sailboats are all coming around this buoy. And there's this real race going on. There's about 30 boats in the water. And they had their spinnakers up. And I was just overcome with this feeling to sit. And there was a beautiful bench there. And I wrapped Jen in my arms. And we just sat and watched as this race was ensuing. Now, we were in the middle of a hike. And it would be very, very easy for us, because we're exercising, to keep going and keep that sweat, that heart rate up. You know, we wanted to get a good exercise in. But, you know, it ended up, we were gone for a couple of hours. And I could tell even by the evening, Jen was still glowing from the fact that we'd had such a beautiful time together. It was very, very connected. But it was in that that moment what I most needed. And I was almost on the boats with these guys as they're going around. Because I'm a sailor, I could just feel the energy and the adrenaline as five boats are rounding a buoy at the same time. And who's got the right of way, you know? And I mean, it's a bit, is that what you're talking about a little bit in that description? I mean, whether it's skipping or animal, or is just noticing that there's something else that you can be a part of and completely immerse yourself in that will probably be as memorable for me in the next 5 years. I'll probably think back to that moment because it was so beautiful.
So that is such a truly beautiful example, David. Thank you for sharing it. That's exactly what I'm talking about, is to veer off from what you had planned, to pay attention to what you're really yearning and craving in the moment, because that's what really brings you to aliveness. That's what gets the blood flowing through your body. That's what gets you up and out of bed in the morning, you know, is that excitement and that creativity. So that's exactly what I'm talking about, is pay attention and be willing to, you know, infuse your day and your routine with what it is in each moment you are authentically yearning for.
I have one last question for you, Leela, and we could go on all day. We're already over by about 10 minutes, by the way, but you know, that's just the way we go, right? You know, for people, womanswayhome.com, or you can go to the show notes and we'll have a link there for you to sort of hook up with Leela. The Woman's Way Home, navigating your path to embodied power. And, you know, all I can say is from a personal experience, I've watched you empower women fall in love, hopelessly in love with their bodies, and in doing so, falling in love with the world around them, and really showing up in the world around them. And it's such a beautiful process to watch. Leela, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life. I wonder, can you describe what a kick-ass life is to you?
Well, I think I best describe it by saying that in a couple of days, I'll be flying down to my beachfront villa in Mexico, where I spend the winters. I actually spend about 4 or 5 or 6 months of the year down there. I will be involved in a yoga training for 3 whole weeks. And I still get to come home to my beautiful husband, and I have a beautiful life, and that's really what the kick-ass life is for me. It's living the life of my dreams, paying attention to my body, and giving myself exactly what it is my being and my body wants in each moment. And having amazing friends and mentors like you, David, that is a kick-ass life.
All right. Well, listen, Leela, thank you so much for being on the show, and we will definitely get you back and have a much longer conversation. So I send my love, big warm hugs, and I can't wait to see you.
Thank you. Me too, David. My love to you and Jen.
Mwah. Mwah. So awesome. So awesome. You know, I love the idea of central power, emotional power, intuitive power, you know, that we do have those those different arenas, and intuition is something that I feel plays a significant role in my own life, and especially when I'm working. If you ever come and do a real program with me, and I invite you, listen, I'm getting bombarded with people saying, I want to come to the island, I want to come play with you, I want to do a program with you. I'm going to put it out there right now, if you're interested in coming and playing with me. All right. What about this? If 28 people, that's all we're looking for, 28 people from anywhere in the world say yes to this, I'll make something happen. All right. So 28 of you have to, you can Facebook me privately. All right. So you understand my Facebook page, where it is, right? So it's very, very easy to find. It's davidonfacebook.com, davidonfacebook.com. Go there, private message me if you want to be the first 28, and I'll take them in order, right? I will look at doing a program, a one-week program on the island, a private island extravaganza. I will write a program especially for the Kick-Ass Life Adventure Series. It's going to be something remarkable. Anyone who's worked with me will tell you that. And I'm just feeling that way. You know, it's probably going to be November or early December. at some point. So again, don't worry about the dates. It's going to be in that arena before the end of the year. It may be late November or early December. Some of you have already heard of a program I'm doing around then. Don't worry about that. That's still going on. But again, I just want to see what the response is like to see if there really is a listenership out there that's saying, yeah, you know what? I want to kick ass, but I want to come away and I'm important enough to have a kick-ass life adventure. And I can do it in the last minute. It doesn't have to be years of planning. It won't be very expensive. You have to fly into Belize City, and then there's a small plane over to Dangriga, which is handled internally by our internal travel agent. The program's going to be just over $2,000, I think. I haven't even thought about it. See, I haven't written it yet. But if there's 28 of you that say, yeah, because that's the most amount of people I can take on the island. Remember, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's a marine sanctuary. We have 28 gorgeous staff there. It's a five-star experience, but it's earthy. It's rustic, right? It's an eco-friendly island, right? Some of the best scuba diving in the world, and we will be doing some adventures there. And I'll let you know if there's a response. If there's no response, don't worry about it. But if you're the ones that keep bugging me saying, I wanna, I'm gonna, right? And money keeps being your problem. Well, look, I've made it really, really inexpensive for you, right? You just got to get to Belize City, anywhere in the world. Let me know and I'll figure out a date. I'll put it together. I'm going to be down there anyway. I'm teaching a program down there anyway. So I'm going to be on the island. So if I can wrap it around the week before, the week after, that will allow me to offset my cost because I'm already there for a program that I'm running. And I'm going to be there. So that's why it makes sense. I'm thinking, yeah, I'll tease you out. If you really want to join the Kick-Ass Life Adventure Series, Kick-Ass Life Adventure Club, let's start now. Because I keep getting these little emails and Facebook pokes saying, hey, I want to do it. I want to do it. I love to do it. Well, here's your chance. First 28, I'm going to take you in order. So if the first one I hear from is the first one, we'll be given a chance and we'll take it in order. So you have to take some form of action. So it's David on Facebook.com. Let me know. And I'll create the most amazing week of your life. Those of you that have already been there for mind, body, and spirit, their testimonials were remarkable and, they truly had a remarkable time. And so, yeah, let's do it. Let's kick some ass and let's have some adventure and some fun and let's change some lives. So if you're into it, first 28, that's it. That's all I can take on the island unless I start stacking you on top of each other. So with that being said, Leela, thank you so much. Isn't she a gem? And gentlemen, we got to reach inside our hearts and allow our feminine out and, you know, and truly treat our women like goddesses. And, you know, when we do, you know, magical things happen. You know, when someone feels safe in our arms, the best part of them shows up. When they don't feel safe, the worst part shows up. So if you've been in a relationship where you're dealing with someone and they're not very great right now, look inside, take 100% responsibility, all right, and change how you treat them. Watch what happens. With that being said, who's coming to the island? Uh-huh. Ready? And by the way, thanks for the reviews. And Chris, dedicated to you this show. I take care. And I'll definitely... Oh, you know what I was going to do? Let's play one more Than a Woman. Here we go. This is my era. I used to wear those tight clothes. I used to wear 6-inch heels. 6-inch heels. I'm 6'3". I was almost 7 feet tall. So don't forget, you can find the show notes with all the links of anything you need. And I'll make sure we put the link to the island on there as well so you can have a little look-see. All right? Hopefully we'll play before the end of the year. See you there. And we'll definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.